and gentlemen, this is Lady Boss with your Real Talk, picking up for DJ 9-1. We're keeping the spicy sizzling today. We're going to kick it off with our usual trends and leading to our sexuality, relationships, and sports. I've got an interesting trend for all of you today to kick it off. So as you might have known, the biggest trend, or one of the biggest, that has been passed around for a while now is infamous hash oil. This is one of the purest forms of THC that can be found and is becoming one of the most popular ways to get high. This oil is used by heating a skillet or metal object until red hot and then placing a dab of oil onto it and inhaling the residue smoke, usually through a straw. Also referred to as taking dabs in this generation slang. What you might not have known is that the process of extracting so-called hash oil from the marijuana plants, although easy, appears to be an explosive trend, literally, as it's posing a huge threat to residents as do-it-yourself methods gain popularity, especially in the Bay Area. In the past 2 weeks, hash oil explosions were reported in Santa Cruz. A third incident occurred last Friday in Fremont. Earlier this year, a Santa Rosa explosion injured a teenage boy. More than 2 years ago, a 35-year-old man died after he and his roommate, a male and female couple, were making hash oil at home in Livermore. The explosion on May 21st, 2011, killed Paul Lohm and caused $350,000 worth of damage to the apartment building where the drug was being manufactured. The couple has since pleaded no contest to voluntary manslaughter and accessory charges in connection with Lohm's death. Although other incidents have not been as lethal, the use of butane to extract the highly coveted product poses dangerous threats to anyone nearby. A 29-year-old man was severely burned when the extraction went wrong at his home in Santa Cruz just a few weeks ago on October 9th. The front windows were blown out of his house, and the man appeared to have been working out of the bathroom, which was also damaged. Two dogs at the home were also burned. About 10 days before that incident, three men in a Santa Cruz apartment were severely burned and suffered life-threatening injuries because of a hash oil explosion. On September 29th, explosion was sparked by a pilot light in a water heater near where the men were using butane to extract the usually gummy orange substance. The explosion led to one alarm fire and blew out the wall near the water heater. The DIY practice is gaining notoriety online with YouTube videos and other tutorials providing directions to make the attainable oil. A 15-year-old boy in Santa Rosa was found making the concentrated cannabis product with 43 pounds of loose-leaf marijuana in August. In the most recent incident in Fremont last Friday, an explosion and a one-alarm fire was reported at a laundry room at a house. A 20-year-old man and a juvenile female were burned after the hash oil operation led to the explosion. The U.S. Fire Administration in February released an advisory to fire and emergency personnel throughout the country about the increase of hash oil explosions. In the advisory on its website, officials said the extraction method appears to be more common on the West Coast. It continued in states with legalized use and availability of medical marijuana, these incidents appear to be increasing. Federal officials said the ensuing explosions and fires are often misidentified as pipe bombs or meth lab explosions. Fire officials urged first responders receiving training about hash oil extractions. Commodore Mario Soleil with the Santa Cruz County Anti-Crime Team, which operates a narcotics enforcement task force, said the practice of using highly flammable butane is a danger to individuals and to neighbors. He said these dense gases collect in a room until it meets an ignition source. It doesn't help that many of these operations are done in poorly ventilated areas, such as basements, bathrooms, or laundry rooms either. In operations like these, he said, they try to hide their activity. The commander said people will buy multiple cases of butane, and if neighbors see the large amounts of canisters, it's usually an indicator of the illegal practice. If this trend continues, there will be pushes for legislation to control butane purchases. He said the butane process is growing because it maximizes the product and extracts the THC from plants that previously would have been considered low grade and thrown away. He said so far this year, there have been 6 cases of hash oil explosions reported in Santa Cruz County, which is up from any other year. He said the labs are simple to create, especially when compared to the more sophisticated and supplies needed for a methamphetamine lab. It's very minimal, he said, with easily obtained items compared to a meth lab. It's not a lot of labor involved. According to the U.S. Fire Administration, butane is available over-the-counter in 8-ounce cans. Typically, a whole can is used in one extraction. Other extraction materials include isopropyl, or rubbing alcohol, glass dishes, and coffee filters. Soleil said his department, along with other law enforcement agencies, are trying to publicize the hazards of making hash oil at home. He said the consequences are apparent when people read about life-threatening burns and blowout windows and walls. There also needs to be education for law enforcement personnel themselves. They need to know how to look for and how to properly handle it. Soleil talked about his goal to interdict something before something bad happens. John Sugg, president of the Sonoma Patient Group, a medical marijuana dispensary in Santa Rosa, said they sell hash oil, sometimes called honey oil, but only concentrates made with carbon dioxide. He said inert gases like carbon dioxide are non-explosive, unlike butane. Using carbon dioxide is a safer method, he said. Safer, yet would involve making the product outdoors instead of the common practice of staying in a closed-off environment. He said the process usually involves filling a cylindrical tube with marijuana and pouring butane from the top. The oil comes out of the bottom, and the various nicknames for the drug are based on its consistency and color. He said the oil is a solid or waxy substance at room temperature and liquefies with heat. No matter how safe you are, if there's something like a water heater or pilot light or static electricity that can set off the explosion. I call it the exploding hippie phenomenon, Sugg said. He urged people to avoid blowing themselves up, although he noted the legal practice is not as dangerous as a meth lab. Sugg believes that oil is becoming more popular because of its high market value. A gram of this oil can sell for as much as $60. As for other big trending news, you might have heard about the Nevada middle school shooting. Authorities say the student who opened fire, wounding 2 students and killing a teacher, got the weapon from his home. Washoe County School District police said Tuesday they are still working to trace where the gun was bought. Police said a Sparks Middle School student was the lone shooter and turned the weapon on himself as well. Authorities will not name the name of the student out of respect for his family. But what was released is news that says 45-year-old math teacher and former Marine Michael Lansbury tried to stop the rampage before he was fatally shot. The teacher, who authorities said coached several sports, was being hailed for trying to protect students from a shooting that was witnessed by 20 or 30 children. Washoe County School District Police Chief Mike Mirez said Lansbury's action gave students enough time to run to safety. The 2 12-year-old boys who were shot are stable and recovering. One was shot in the shoulder and the other in the abdomen. Authorities did not provide a motive for the shooting. A student, Jose Cazares, said he was hanging out with friends when they heard gunshots, which they thought were firecrackers. He said he saw a boy shoot 2 students. The boy then aimed the gun at his chest, but Lansbury stepped between him and the shooter. He was telling him to stop and put the gun down. Then the kid yelled out, "No," like he was yelling at him, and he shot him. Jose told NBC's Today show on Tuesday. "He was calm. He was holding out his hand like, 'Put the gun in my hand,'" said Jose. He also said that he and his friends ran and hid after Lansbury was shot. He said one friend began crying, which the shooter heard. When the shooter found the boys, he threatened to shoot them if they told anyone they saw him, then fired 2 shots at a window, before apparently running out of bullets. He said the boys lied to the shooter, telling him they didn't see anything, and the shooter ran off. After the gunfire stopped, parents clung to their teary-eyed children at an evacuation center while the community struggled to make sense of the latest episode of schoolyard violence to rock the nation less than a year after the massacre in Connecticut. Sparks, a city of roughly 90,000 that sprung out of the railway industry, lies just east of Reno. Investigators were still trying to piece together the chain of events that began around 7:15 a.m. Monday the 15th. Minutes before classes were set to begin for roughly 700 students in the 7th and 8th grade. As you can imagine, the best description is chaos, Reno Deputy Police Chief Tom Robinson said. It's too early to say whether he was targeting people or going on an indiscriminate shooting spree. It was no shock to family members that Lansbury, a married military veteran with two stepdaughters, would take a bullet. To hear that he was trying to stop that is not surprising by any means, Chada Lansbury said. She added, his life could be summed up by his love of family, his students, and his country. Sparks Mayor Gino Martini said Lansbury served two tours in Afghanistan with Nevada National Guard and was well known in the school community. He proudly served his country and was proudly defending the students at his school. The mayor praised the quick response from officers who arrived at the scene within 3 minutes of the initial 911 call to find the shooter with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Students from the middle school and neighboring elementary school were evacuated to the nearby high school, and classes were canceled. The middle school will remain closed for the week along with an adjacent elementary school. The violence erupted nearly a year after a gunman horrified the nation by opening fire in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, leaving 26 dead. The December 14th shooting ignited debate over how best to protect the nation's schools and whether armed teachers should be part of that equation. That's just one sad story. That's all we have for today's news. So after the break, we'll come back and I'll have a sexuality segment for you. Thanks for listening. Hey y'all, this is Lady Boss. You're listening to Real Talk. We just got done with our trending segment and now we're on to our sexuality segment. Today we will be talking about gays. Now, gay is a term that primarily refers to a homosexual person or even just the trait of being homosexual. But today I want to talk about gay men in general. Let's start it off with the actual term. The term was originally used to refer to feelings of being carefree, happy, or just bright and showy. It's used as a reference to its use as a reference to homosexuality may date as early as the late 19th century, but gradually it's increased in the 20th century. In modern English, gay has become used as an adjective, a noun, referring to the people, especially to males, and the practice and cultures associated with homosexuality. By the end of the 20th century, the word gay was recommended by major LGBT groups and style guides to describe people attracted to the same sex. At about the same time, a new pejorative use became prevalent in some parts of the world. In the Anglosphere, this connotation among younger speakers has a negative meaning equivalent to rubbish or stupid, as in that's so gay. It's now used as a negative thing. In this use, the word does not mean homosexual, so it can be used, for example, to refer to an inanimate object or abstract concept of which one disapproves. And this usage can also refer to weakness or unmanliness when used. And when it's used these ways, the extent to which it still retains connotation to homosexuality has been debated and harshly criticized. Now, people are always using the word gay as in, they use it very loosely now. And most gay people don't get offended by it. I mean, there are those who will, and it is still not the right word to use and should not be used, and it's not a word that gays would like to be heard used as that is as that connotation, but it is, and we don't take offense to it. So it is used negatively, and we do see that, and even gays use that, like, oh my god, that was so gay, I can't believe you just said that. I mean, I mess around with my friends all the time, and when someone says something that's really cheesy, you can say, ooh, that was gay. And it's just a word that's been tossed around very lightly, and it should have a stronger meaning because it does offend some people. So that might be something we do need to take into consideration. But as for gay men that I want to talk about today, I wanted to talk about gay men and just their habits, okay? It amazes me how great of style gay men have. I mean, I can't even dress myself like that, let alone, I don't know how they're doing. And I thought men were supposed to be the kind of guys who wear basketball shorts and big tees, some J's or sneakers. When I met my first gay man, I was like, wow, you dress better than I do. This is crazy. Like, I'm jealous. Can you help me? Can you give me tips? And along with that, that's also brings up the point that every girl wants a gay best friend. That's because we've realized that gay guys are so much fun. And they're not only just fun to be around, to hang out with, but they're so real. Like, they're going to tell you the straight truth, and they're going to give it to you so forward. And what also makes them fun is their quirkiness. Gay guys are really sassy, and they're just fun to be around, and they're bright and vibrant, and they just have this persona about them. One persona that gets mistaken really often, though, is that all gay guys are flamboyant. Yes, okay, most are, or I'm not going to say most, but there are plenty of gay boys who are completely flamboyant and who bend their wrists, snap their back, and whip their hair back and forth. But that's not all gay boys. You know, there are the masculine gay boys, and there are different words to call them. Okay, there are plenty of different kinds of gays as there are lesbians, like I talked about last week. The different types of gays include also, like a lesbian, a feminine, a femme, where those are the flamboyant ones who walk around in their tight outfits and strut their stuff and snap their fingers, and the very cute flamboyant ones. There are also bears, which are bigger, hairy men, actually. That's actually a type of gay that supposedly is very attractive in the gay world. They're called bears, and they're just hairy men, and that's supposedly attractive. I mean, I would never find it attractive, but I guess that's what the gays like. Anyway, sometimes you won't even be able to tell a man is gay. Like, usually with the gator I talked about, you can tell which men are gay and which are not. But sometimes there are those undercover gays that you would never have guessed. I mean, there is a kid on the dance team here that I would never have guessed was gay. I mean, dancing kind of, you know, gives a little hint. But, you know, you're not going to stereotype. But, you know, he dresses like a regular athlete would, and he just walks around like no big deal, and he doesn't strut his stuff. So you would never know he was gay until you talk to him. And when you talk to him, that's when his voice comes out and you hear his feminine side, and then that's when you're able to tell he's gay. But also with that, what's up with all gay boys being able to dance so damn good? All the gay boys I have met can shake their butt like no other. They're better at twerking than I am, and it's not fair. I don't know. I love gay boys. Gay boys are probably my favorite type of boys because they're the most fun to be around, and they're just exciting, and they brighten everybody's lives. They can give you fashion tips, and they give you boy advice, and that's why every girl wants a gay best friend, because they get along exactly the same. Like, they're into all the same things, and because they're gonna tell you straight up and be honest with you. So that's why a lot of girls are into having gay best friends. I have a little video to share with you guys about gay rights, and this is from one of the guys on YouTube that I played last week also, and it's a funny little clip, actually, that I wanted everybody to listen to. So here it goes.
I run down the street, right? And all of a sudden, this huge explosion comes in, and it's like, no! Everyone's in total chaos and shitty.
Rated mature.
Americans are becoming more comfortable with the idea of gay marriage, seeing it as both a moral and civil rights issue.
But there are many out there who are still fighting against the cause.
And as gay men ourselves, we would just like to say to those people,
fine, keep marriage between a man and a woman. And in response, we will marry your girlfriends.
We'll marry your girlfriends.
What? You don't think we could?
We'd be the best husbands ever.
Have you seen us? We are ripped.
All of us are ripped. It doesn't seem statistically possible, and yet it's true.
Because we love going to the gym. And you know who else loves going to the gym? Your girlfriend.
We will go to the gym with her, and then after, we'll get Pinkberry as a reward. That sounds like a great time to us.
Not to mention, we dress better than you. While you were spilling manwich on your cargo shorts, we were inspecting our Oxford shirts for the craftsmanship of their gauntlet buttons.
What do you make a girlfriend for breakfast? Burnt scrambled eggs? We will make her a quiche.
Quiche.
With a side of hummus, made from scratch.
Do you even know the difference between hummus and baba ganoush? You're a joke.
And don't even get us started on dates.
You don't want to go dancing? We teach a dance class.
Urban tango.
You're not on the list for that art gallery opening?
We'll BBM the owner, Maurice.
Not in the mood to go to that Broadway show? We are.
We're in it.
Yes, we would like to go to that 80s theme costume party. And no, we weren't just checking out that other girl.
Obviously.
Ew.
We could listen to your girlfriend for hours, just reassuring her that she's not the crazy one.
Cassandra is being a bitch.
Also, her dad loves us.
That's because he's not threatened by us. In fact, we're playing tennis with him right now. Well played, Mr. Bennett.
Now you're probably thinking sex.
That's where you have us beat.
And we already know how she likes to be kissed.
She thinks it's funny to make out with us when she's drunk.
And you know all those sweet spots, preferences, and fantasies that she's too embarrassed to tell you or thinks you should innately know?
Yeah, she's told us.
We could play her like an upright bass.
And the kind of threesome she wants?
Oh, we're cool with that.
As if all this isn't enough, we're the shoulder that your girlfriend cries on when she's complaining about, you.
We know literally all of your weaknesses.
You are Death Stars, and we are an army of fabulous Luke Skywalkers.
So remember, we're doing you a huge solid by being more attracted to each other than to your girlfriends.
But if you stay close-minded about this, we will take one for the team and marry the crap out of them.
So don't make us marry your girlfriends.
Support gay marriage.
That was just a little tidbit for all of you guys. I thought it was a funny little video when I was researching on gays and the topic and just looking into it. So that's all for our sexuality segment today. When we get back, we'll be talking about relationships. So tune in for that. Thanks for listening. This is Lady Boss with your Real Talk.
You
Hey, everyone. This is Lady Boss. Thanks for listening. We're back with Real Talk. Today, we got a little bit relationship segments. So I talked about breakups last week, and this week I want to talk about new relationships. I think it fits pretty well. So, I mean, I talked about breakups because I was just going through a breakup, and now I'm starting to see new people, and I'm trying to experiment and broaden my horizons to pick myself back up. And you know what I realized? I told myself I am not getting back in a relationship for a long time. I am over relationships. This is not my thing. I think relationships are pointless, and that's what I was telling myself for a while, okay? And I was having fun being single, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't need to get wrapped up in anything. I don't even know if I want to get married. This doesn't seem like fun. I don't know how I'm going to deal with someone. I couldn't even put up with a year and a half. I don't know how I'm going to deal with someone for the rest of my life. And I'm going through it, and I'm like, you know what? Relationships aren't my thing. I hate relationships. No, thank you. I don't think I'm going to get back in one. And that was my mindset, obviously, because I had just gone through a breakup. But then I started thinking, as I started meeting new people and starting to date new people and talk to people and go out with new people, I'm starting to see that, you know what? I realized you get into relationships because in the beginning, when you're talking to someone and when you're seeing someone, it's so exciting. It's so much fun. And I really miss that. Like, I feel like that's why relationships are falling apart, because the spiciness isn't being kept. It's not exciting anymore. And that's why we lead to breakups. I mean, if every relationship lasted like the beginning of a relationship, it would be so awesome. Like, if I could find that in someone where it's the beginning all over again, you know, where you get those butterfly feelings because you guys had your first kiss, or you go out on your first date and you are laughing because you're embarrassed and you don't know how much to say, and you're going through all those new things with someone else, with someone different, and you're experiencing it all over again, and you're experiencing all these new feelings, fun, exciting feelings all over again. And if we could find a way to keep that up throughout a relationship, it would be, I feel like you can make the relationship last forever. I mean, I recently just started dating someone already, I know, but it was pretty dumb decision, actually, to jump back into seeing people. But it's not really... It's the only way to really help you get over your breakup. That's really what I believe. Like, in order for you not to go back to your ex, for you not to go backtrack, is what I call it. In order not to backtrack, to fall back and just be like, okay, you know what, let's work it out. I feel like you have to have someone else there to help you through it and to rely on. So to that, you need a person to make you not want to go back, because I mean, when you're in a year and a half long relationship, or however long you're in a relationship for, when you're in a relationship and you end it, you miss that. You miss having that person there, especially because if you're in a long distance or a long term relationship, you've been so used to it, and you've gotten used to the fact that they are there and that you have someone to cuddle with at night and someone to come home and tell you all your problems to. And I mean, when they're gone, it makes it a lot more difficult to not want to go back. Like, you want that person there, especially because exactly like you're so used to it. So I really feel like the best way to get over someone is to start hanging out with new people. I'm not saying jump right into another relationship, because that's probably the dumbest thing you can do. But I'm saying go out and meet new people and experiment and have fun and keep yourself distracted, because I have done that with this past relationship for the first time. Usually after I go through breakups, I sit around and I mope and I eat my tub of ice cream on my bed and watch Netflix. But this time I decided I'm going to do it differently. You know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to try to enjoy myself. I don't want to be locked down anymore, and I don't want to have to feel like I'm still attached. So that's what I did. I went out and I've been hanging out with new people and been just going out a lot more. When I was dating my girlfriend, we were always in the house. We never left. And it got to that point. Like, it just got to the point of boredom where we've already done everything together. We've already gone everywhere. What else is there to do? This isn't as exciting anymore. So I guess we'll just keep each other company in the house. And no, like, that's so boring. Like, now that I'm going out and I'm dating new people and talking to new people, I see that you need to keep all relationships interesting. You need to keep all relationships on edge and new, and there's always something new to find out. You can always learn more about a person. There's always something that you don't know, and it just takes the effort and the want to do it. You have to feel the excitement, and that's what makes a relationship work. I feel like that's what's going to make a relationship last, and that's what keeps it going. When you're in such a long relationship, you eventually lose the spark, and it makes everything go down the drain. It just, you lose all, it's not hope that you're losing. You lose all excitement, and there's nothing fun left. So really there needs to be that, that new feeling. You need to always keep trying something new, always keep working for something. You guys should have goals in a relationship. There should definitely be goals, whether it be to travel somewhere together or to do this at work, and I'm all right, I'll help you do this and you help me do this, and you know, whether it be anything, you know, you have to have goals. You have to have new and anything exciting. Like, don't stay at home, get out there, have fun, and enjoy yourself. And right now that's what I'm trying to do. I'm out there experimenting and seeing what I have been missing for the past year and a half. I mean, not to say that I didn't have a great relationship and that it wasn't worth it, but saying that there needs to be, you need, especially at my age, at being young, there shouldn't be a tie down. You shouldn't be looking for that right now, unless you really find the person that you feel you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And if you're unsure of it, you shouldn't be in a serious relationship. I feel like when you're dating someone, it should be to have fun. I feel like that's the whole purpose of everything. With me, that's my whole goal with life, with goals, with everything. I want to have fun in whatever I do and with whoever I do it with. I'm not going to do something if I'm not going to have fun, especially with like my career I'm looking for right now. I'm not sure what I want to do, but I'm going to make sure it's going to be fun for me, because that's what I'm about and that's what I love doing. I love having fun, and that's my favorite thing. And I always talk to my coach about it and tell her. She's always asking me, so what are your goals and what do you consider successful? And I have to tell her, you know what? I don't know what I want right now, but I know I want to have fun because I'm young. I want to live and I want to enjoy. And I feel like there's no point in doing anything if you're not going to enjoy yourself. Like, that's what life's about. You have to enjoy yourself. And even though there's going to be those rough times, that you can always make something good out of it. You don't have to look at everything as negatively. You should find something good in all of it. And you can do that by just trying to make everything fun for yourself. And so that's what is going on now. Okay. When you're in a new relationship, everything is, it's new. So you don't know what the people you're meeting, you don't know anything about them. You're just trying to get to know them. And I feel like even that, because you don't know them, because you just met this person or you're unsure of them, it makes it so much more interesting because they don't know about you. You don't know about them. And like, really, this person could be anyone and you have no idea. They could be a psycho stalker, or they can also be the love of your life. And you never know until you just get out there and start meeting people. And I feel like you really can't do that in a relationship, and you really shouldn't want to do that at this age. You should want to go out and meet and travel and do as much as you can and experience that new fun feeling with everybody. And so right now, that's what I'm aiming for. And I recently have met someone that I really do enjoy spending my time with. And, you know, we've been hanging out a lot and just getting to know each other and going out together. And we're just enjoying each other's company and trying to get to know each other. And at the same time, we're developing different feelings about each other. And it's all new and all interesting. And it makes the whole relationship grow faster and stronger. And I feel like that's the point of a relationship. There needs to be those new things you learn about each other. And you need to always strive for something that's going to make the relationship blossom more than it has. So I recommend everybody to get out there, go have some fun, go on a date, experiment, meet new people, have fun with it. All right. That's my advice for the week and my advice for relationships on this day today. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got for you on relationships. When we get back, I have a sports segment for you, so tune in for that. This is Lady Boss, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
And I think you're from another world, and I couldn't love another girl, 'cause you make me feel like I'm intoxicated. In a room full of frozen faces, in a moment of fractured time, we eclipse in a conversation as the words they pass us by. With you, we could be the only ones here. Summer night, can you tell that I need you with me? Let me drink you down tonight. No, I don't just want any pretty face. Wanna wake up next to yours each day. Baby, won't you be my saving grace tonight? Tonight. With you, we could be the only. Girl, 'cause you
You make me feel like I'm intoxicated.
Hey there, we're back. This is Lady Boss with Real Talk. We're keeping the spicy sizzling. All right, we've got one last segment for you before I give you a little update on next week. This is our sports segment for the week. So, weather permitting, the World Series is set to start Wednesday night at Fenway Park with the Boston Red Sox hosting the St. Louis Cardinals. Both teams have come a long way since they met on a sunny Florida field in February when John Lester pitched Boston to a win in spring training. Lester and the Red Sox rebounded from an awful season and wound up tied with St. Louis for the most victories in the majors. The Cardinals put aside a flop in last year's playoffs and excelled with young talent. Lester is ready to face Adam Wainwright in the opener, though rain is in the forecast and temperatures are supposed to be in the low 40s. The Cardinals are trying to win their third championship in 8 years, and the Red Sox are aiming to take their third title in 10 seasons. Two historic franchises with a lot of history and a lot of success, St. Louis manager Mike Matheny said. We take a lot of pride in what has been able to kind of define the Cardinal way and how we go about our business. But realizing, too, you give credit. You give credit where it's due, and this team in Boston has done some amazing things to make this happen this year and in the past. Here are four things to watch when Cardinals and Red Sox play ball. Funny Fenway. Baseball's oldest park opened in 1912, about a week after the Titanic sunk. It's full of quirky angles and odd dimensions, plus the 37-foot wall in left field, a.k.a. the Green Monster. To fans, it's a jewel. To the Red Sox, it's a beloved home. To visiting teams, well, it's tricky. Hits can take strange bounces at any time, and for clubs like the Cardinals, who haven't visited Boston since 2008, that could cost them the game in a hurry. A hairy matchup. Nasty or neat, most everyone in this series seems to be growing a beard. The Red Sox sport the most serious ones, so much so that theirs even have names. Mike Napoli's clump is called the Siesta. The Cardinals got into the spirit later in the season and definitely trail in this department. Maybe for good reason, too. I have a wife that doesn't enjoy it too much, outfielder Shane Robinson said. Another look. This is likely to be the last World Series where instant replay isn't available to review most every call. Next year, Major League Baseball intends to make everything except balls and strikes subject to review. We've already seen a couple of rulings this postseason that umpires might have reversed with another look. There are bound to be a few more close ones that get fans buzzing. Young and younger. Both teams are getting major contributions from rookies who spent most of the season in the minors. At 22, Michael Wacha has become an October ace for the Cardinals. Listen for people to crackle, Wacha, 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 like the old Pac-Man sounds when he pitches. Xander Bogaerts is even younger. At 21, the Boston third baseman from Aruba has blossomed into one of the game's top fresh talents. If a civilly liable double murder convicted of kidnapping and armed robbery can't get his number 32 removed from the peristyle end of the LA Memorial Coliseum, it might be hard to justify taking down the number right next to it. It's true, you can't compare the mid-deeds, alleged and otherwise, of O.J. Simpson to fellow USC Heisman Trophy-winning tailback Mike Garrett. But with the NCAA's wrist-slapping of the University of Miami's football program Tuesday, it has become increasingly clear that the relatively much harsher sanctions imposed on USC in 2010 stemmed not much from the severity of the violations, but from the handling of the process by former athletic director Garrett. Maybe USC should reconsider its whole peristyle and retired jersey strategy, which excludes any player who didn't win a Heisman. When faced with allegations that the parents of yet another Trojans Heisman winning back, Reggie Bush, improperly received a house from sports agents, Garrett's strategy was to deny that anyone in USC athletic program had knowledge of this misdeed. The NCAA didn't buy it and docked USC 2 years of bowl participation and 30 scholarships. Other accused programs, Ohio State, Oregon, and Miami, have subsequently avoided the NCAA's wrath by falling on their swords, implementing policy changes and curtailing their own postseason participation before the athletic governing body imposed its verdict. Following his mishandling of the NCAA's due process, Garrett then went out and hired Lane Kiffin. Of course, Bush's oversized number 5 jersey once stood among those of USC's 6 other Heisman winners: Simpson, Garrett, Charles White, number 12, Marcus Allen, Carson Palmer, and Matt Leinart. The number 5 was removed after USC was put on probation and Bush's Heisman was revoked. For several years, the running joke in the Coliseum is that a violent criminal can keep his jersey enshrined but take a free house. I would argue that the man in charge of the athletic program that abdicated all responsibility for Bush deserves to go down too, I say, take down number 32 and number 20 as well. You're worried that the peristyle end will start looking pretty barren? Well, USC has plenty of legends who maybe didn't win Heismans, but who have lived upstanding lives of service and leadership off the field. How about number 16, a former Trojans quarterback, Ronnie Pete, who was the Heisman runner-up in 1988 to Barry Sanders? Forget that none of the 7 Trojans handed the trophy probably could have beaten out Sanders during his record-breaking 2,628-yard rushing year at Oklahoma State. After a 6-year pro career, Pete has become an inspiration to parents all over the world, eloquently conveying his experiences raising an autistic son through books and public speaking. Or how about number 42, worn by Ronnie Lott, one of the most decorated defensive players the game has ever seen. A successful businessman, Lott is now lauded for his vigorous philanthropic work. Or how about number 10, worn by Pat Hayden, the 2-time national championship winning quarterback and Rhodes Scholar who has taken time out from lucrative enterprise to clean up Garrett's mess at USC's as USC's athletic director. These are just 3 good choices of standout Trojan players whose off-the-field presence serve as an inspiration for students, alumni, fans, and hangers-on. Not an embarrassment. So now I have a funny one for you. Zlatan decides to give Cristiano Ronaldo a little message. So let me read that for you guys. Hello, Cristiano. I am Zlatan, the cloud of pain that now hovers over you. I must admit that the World Cup payoff draw was unfortunate. I know that many people do not like you, but I never felt that way. I have always seen you as weaker, lavender-scented version of Zlatan, a flattering Zliminator. We both score goals at will, and our gifts are unappreciated in Barcelona. You have boots with stars on them. I have boots filled with feet that are more powerful than the sun. Of course, I am better looking, have better hair, and I am far more skilled in deadly martial arts than you. But all of this gives you something to aspire to. You're welcome. Since there will not be 11 Slaytons playing for Sweden, I cannot guarantee you will lose. What I can guarantee is that it is in your best interest to do so. Sweden did not qualify for the 2010 World Cup. This was deeply unsatisfactory to me. If it happens again, I will be forced to seek vengeance in ways that will make you wish you were attending an awards ceremony where Lionel Messi beats you in every category while your abs slowly morph into a beer belly. This is not a threat. Slayton does not make threats. I make predictions that happen. The World Cup needs Slayton. Who else could do a back heel so Zlectacular that it makes the FIFA executive heads explode like Mario Balotelli's bathroom and convinces all of Brazil that hosting the tournament wasn't such a waste of money after all? Who else would put Xavier in a cat carrier and ship him to Tahiti when he decides to be the Goldilocks of groundskeeping and complains about a pitch being too dry or too wet for Spain? Who else would provide Pep Guardiola with an all expense paid trip to Brazil to watch the tournament just to make him sit between Pele and Maradona while they bicker endlessly about whether Justin Bieber is better than One Direction. The answer is no one. I would wish you luck, Cristiano, but after reading all of this, you shouldn't want it. If you think Pepe can protect you from the wrath of Zlatan, then you will be mistaken and he will be crying. Maybe when this is all over, we can be friends. I can show you the best way to kick Gareth Bale in the head and how not to tweet about boys' underwear competitions. That's how slamicable I can be. Until then, I will see you on the pitch and you will see me in your nightmares. Flamingo dream kick. That was a little message from Slayton to Cristiano Ronaldo. I hope he can back up all that talk. We'll see. Anyway, that's it for our show today. Thank you very much. Make sure to turn in next week. I am going to have Papa B on, who is my dad. He is going to be talking about sexuality with me, and we're going to be talking about our experience together and how I came out to him and how he handled it and what we went through together as a parent and daughter. So tune in for that next week. Don't miss it. That's going to be a great show. And thank you for listening this week. This is Lady Boss. You're listening to Real Talk on radio.dominican.edu.
A touch of your loving